Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with orthodox Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to know more about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. That translates numerically to 888-275-4265. I did find out a few moments ago, just as I was ready to go on air, that all our phone lines went down due to some kind of power degeneration in the area. And so I won't be able to take any calls during this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast unless the power comes back up. But I feel this may be a providential time for you and I to talk for a few moments about the things that really matter. You think about some of the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We have a wealth of information that is now being translated into major languages around the world. And it is because people are standing shoulder to shoulder with this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach in the battle for life and truth. We certainly believe at the Christian Research Institute that truth matters. But we believe that life matters more. As I have been communicating on the Bible Answer Man broadcast and in various other forums, the menu is not the meal. I was in Tokyo, and while I was there, I was studying a menu. The lettering was like Greek to me. I couldn't make any sense out of it. But the pictures caused my mouth to salivate. It all looks so beautiful. Beautifully pictured meals. But the menu was a means to order those meals. Someone would think me absurd if I started chewing on the menu. Obviously, no nutritional value. But through the menu, I ordered the meal, and I had a real, live experience with the food. It nourished me. It gave me a sense of well-being. And in the same way, we can know the Bible backwards and forwards. We can dot our theological I's. We can cross our theological T's. And yet we can be like the Pharisees, devoid of life. Remember the Pharisees? They tithed their mint and their cumin, but they neglected the weightier matters of the law: justice, righteousness, equity. Why? Because they had no life within. And the beauty about the Christian experience is that we are called to lives that experience the life of Christ abundantly. The idea that has been communicated so popularly in Christian cultures is that the idea of Christianity is to pray a prayer that gets us to a good place in the future. And while that is true as far as it goes, it is insufficient because we can experience Christ now. And when we experience the inner penetration of the life of Christ with our lives, we now become change agents in the world because we ourselves have been changed. It is not just our explanation that transforms. It is the experience of the engrafted life of Christ that allows us to impact the lives of others. So yes, truth matters, but life matters more. Now, as a ministry, we continue to be focused on the plumb line, but not merely the plumb line. We continue to be focused on truth because truth does matter. When we say truth matters, life matters more, we're not saying truth doesn't matter. It does matter. I was reading an article in the Christian Research Journal, and quite frankly, yesterday I wanted to spend some time with this article, but with thousands and thousands of calls coming in, I didn't feel it was appropriate to do so. Well, now with technical problems, I am delighted to be able to do so. There's an article, it's the cover story of the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, and it's titled, Why Did God Let That Child Die? It's an article written by Clay Jones. He's an associate professor in the Master of Arts in Christian Apologetics program at Biola. And he specializes in issues related to why God allows evil. When I read this article for the first time, quite frankly, I thought this is the quintessential example of how an article should be written. It's concise, but it's poignant and profound. And when you finish reading it, you pause and think, now I understand something that I didn't fully understand before. Because the most difficult and emotionally charged question ever asked is why God lets a particular child suffer or die. The question is rarely abstract. It's rarely why God allows children in general to die. It's specifically focused on a circumstance. Why? Because that circumstance has impacted our lives dramatically. Perhaps we've sat at the bedside of a dying spouse or child, father or mother. And we don't know all of God's reasons for letting that particular person die at that particular moment. But when we reframe the question, we can answer it. We can answer why God allows children or people in general to die. Children, like human beings in general, suffer and die due to the pestilence and disease enabled when the Lord cursed the ground after Adam and Eve had made a choice. God could have created Adam and Eve in such a way that they could not choose, but God did not do that. He created volitional beings, and through that, allowed for love that is love indeed. Children also suffer and die because of the mistakes and sins of others, like leaving a pool gate unsecured, like drunk driving, like murders. But children also suffer and die because natural laws work in regular ways. The gravity that keeps us on planet Earth also enables fatal falls. The fire that warms also burns. The water in which we swim also can be the cause of drowning. Disease, sin, natural laws are the reasons that children die. And for those who wish that God would afford children with more protection, The question arises as to how exactly God would keep bad things from happening to children without displaying millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of miracles, not just on one particular day, but each and every single day, such that miracles become normative. So someone asked whether God was unfair for letting a particular child die from leukemia. But in reality, the question is far more expansive than that. We don't think God should allow any child to die of any disease, whether leukemia or cancer. Well, you can fill in the blank. In fact, we don't think that God should allow children to drown or be crushed or to burn or to be murdered. We don't think children should be maimed or raped. And if all of that is true, if children shouldn't be able to suffer being raped or maimed or to die from murder, accident, or disease, then to what age do we think children should be kept from any malady at all? Until they're 13? So it's okay until they're 13, but not okay once they're 14? Ultimately, when you ask enough questions, you end up with the reality that if God were to perform millions and millions and millions and millions of miracles every single day, and if, in fact, we were kept from any kind of malady at all, we would live in a cartoon character world. We would have one child with a knife stabbing their brother or sister with no consequence whatsoever. Maybe the knife would turn to rubber, and the family would laugh. But again, that's a cartoon world. In that kind of a world, we could encourage our kids to play marbles in the middle of the freeway. Why? Because they just bounce around a lot. In such a world, children wouldn't learn morality because many of their choices would lack moral consequence. In a real world, parents and their children must learn to be responsible because natural laws do work in regular ways. But in the midst of this world, the world in which we inhabit, the very real world, not the cartoon world, God uses suffering. The Bible says all things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to His purposes. All of this and more is explained in succinct, profound, poignant fashion by Clay Jones. And the reason we need answers like this is because people are asking questions like this. This is not trying to answer a question no one's asking. No, it's grappling with an issue that people struggle with. And the beauty is God calls you and I to be agents of truth so that people might have life and so that people might have life and have it to the full. So when we talk about subscribing to the Christian Research Journal, this is not just a data dump. This is information so that we can learn discernment skills and so that we can give answers at the bedside of a dying infant or a dying mother or a dying spouse. The Christian Research Journal, an award-winning magazine, the current edition, well, it is must reading. If not now, sometime you'll want to pull this edition out and read that particular article, but this is only one of many significant articles. You can subscribe to the Christian Research Journal in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. We were going to have Graham Veal, who is the author of the must-read book, New Atheism, A Survival Guide, on the broadcast today. But again, because of our technical problems, we can't do that. But I am going to talk about the new atheism, the sneer factor, the many reasons why this book is must reading. I'm glad we have high school teachers like this, but the answers he's giving in this book apply to all of us. It's available for your gift at equip.org. We'll be back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Christians today are exposed to relentless attacks on theism by so-called new atheists. Will a weakened Christianity survive the new atheist? Graham Veal's book, New Atheism, A Survival Guide, will help you understand the new atheism and how best to respond to the threat it poses. To receive your copy of New Atheism, A Survival Guide as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. An infinite God reduced to the size of a human embryo, the creator of time and space, invading both in human form? Such is the mystery and the majesty of the Incarnation, supreme being condescending to become one of us. Perhaps nothing is more important than grasping the significance of the coming God in human flesh. Without the life, death, and resurrection of the incarnate one who walked among us, our world would be unfathomably dark. To be equipped as a witness and to be inspired in your walk, you'll want to feast on Hank Hanegraaff's book, Incarnation, The Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. To receive your copy of Incarnation, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Richard Dawkins' grasp of philosophical arguments wouldn't earn him a passing grade in a freshman philosophy course, but he doesn't mean to deal with the questions that theists are asking. He simply ridicules his opponent's position. In New Atheism, A Survival Guide, Graham Veal explains, the new atheist stance is that the reasons for theism must be so bad, why even read about them? My goodness, no, you just dismiss them. Veal goes on to show that the new atheists have not offered one original argument for atheism, but they've plenty of original insults. New Atheism offers an accessible, practical resource for countering new atheist attacks. To receive your copy of New Atheism, A Survival Guide, as our thank you gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Bill Nye, the science guy, professes, I'm insignificant. I'm just a speck of sand. And the Earth is another speck. The Sun is another speck, and the galaxy another speck. I'm just a speck on a speck orbiting a speck among other specks in the middle of specklessness. I suck. Well, far from being insignificant, what the scientific evidence really suggests is that human life is the intended outcome of exquisitely fine-tuned parameters in the physics and chemistry of our universe. All this is explained in Discovery Institute's documentary film, Privileged Species, How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life. To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Richard Dawkins' grasp of philosophical argumentation wouldn't earn him a passing grade in an undergraduate philosophy course. Yet, the dumbed-down ridicule he and other new atheists wield slides effortlessly past a growing number of college students receptive to such ridiculous rhetoric. Graham Veal's concise book, New Atheism, A Survival Guide, offers an accessible, penetrating, and practical resource for countering new atheist attacks. To receive your copy of New Atheism, A Survival Guide, as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Here's more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Do remember that the New Atheism, A Survival Guide by Graham Veal, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I remember when I first read this book, I was thinking, where was Graham Veal when I was in high school? And I can tell you that if you have kids in school right now, whether in college or in high school, even in grade school, this is a book that I would most certainly put into their hands. It is witty. It is eminently readable. It is something that can inoculate your child against the kind of blogs that they will encounter on the net. And so this is a book that I not only order in ones or twos, but in multiple copies, because I'm giving them out to multiple people. Again, you can get your copy for your gift on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And again, you can talk to one of our resource consultants at number 888-7000 and the letters CRI. As someone who has been monitoring the spiritual landscape of America, you and I no doubt have been exposed to the relentless, the increasing attacks on theism, particularly on Christian theism, by the new atheists. For just a sample hors d'oeuvre, try this savory little morsel from Alex Rosenberg. I've mentioned him before on the show because he is a very eminent professor of philosophy at a very prestigious university. We're talking about a professor and chair of the philosophy department at Duke University. And he has written a book. It's called The Atheist Guide to Reality. He subtitled that book, Enjoying Life Without Illusions. Well, how do you enjoy life without illusions? Well, you get rid of the illusion of God. So in answer to the question, is there a God, Alex Rosenberg teaches his students, no, emphatically, no, there is no God. When his students ask him what is the nature of reality, he tells them that it is what physics says it is. No more, no less. The nature of reality is determined by, well, brain chemistry and genetics. When his students at Duke University asked the poignant question, what is my purpose? Indeed, what is the purpose of the universe? Alex Rosenberg, the distinguished professor of philosophy at Duke, replies, there is none. When the student presses him with the question, what is the meaning of life? The distinguished professor says, trust me, dear student, there is no meaning to life. But then the student presses on, but professor, why then am I here? The professor pauses for a moment and then elucidates with the words, Well, you're here by dumb luck. So, Professor, are you asking me to tell you that I have no purpose, no meaning, that my existence is just a function of dumb luck? The professor answers, yes, that's precisely the case. So you're saying I don't have a soul? Yes, you do not have a soul. There is no metaphysical aspect to your humanity. But then, Professor, do I even have free will? The answer, not a chance. But then, Professor, if I may, let me ask you one final question. We're at Duke. We're at a university that once taught that there was a difference between right and wrong, good and bad. Are you saying that none of that was true? Alex Rosenberg, the distinguished professor at Duke, the chair of the philosophy department, at least at one point, pauses again and gives the answer. Let me tell you, dear student, there is no right, there is no wrong, there is no good, there is no bad. In fact, there is no moral difference between right and wrong, good and bad. Let me add one other thing, says Alex Rosenberg to his student. So much for the meaning of history than anything else you previously cared about. And on a particularly cheery note, says Rosenberg, if you're going to be atheistic, you'll have to be comfortable with a certain amount of nihilism. And just in case, dear student, there's always Prozac. Now, this is not a made-up conversation. This is not putting words into the mouth of the distinguished professor. Nor is this isolated to Alex Rosenberg. There are distinguished professors of philosophy. There are people like Bart Ehrman, chair of the Religious Studies Department at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, who are telling their students that Christian theism is a crock. That the whole idea of the supernatural as expressed in Scripture is simply untenable. That Jesus Christ is a false apocalyptic Messiah. That the Bible is deliberately deceptive. So these professors are taking aim at the issue of origins, at the basis for morality, at a universe in which the supernatural is plausible, at the authority of Scripture, and for that reason, I am as excited as I am about Graham Veal's book. Again, it's titled New Atheism, A Survival Guide. Now, why new atheism? What's new about atheism? Well, there's nothing new about atheism, but there's a new brand of atheism that is being peddled to people all around the world. That new atheism is reduced to circular arguments because what is being sold is a feeling. And what is that feeling? It is the assurance that unbelief is infinitely superior to theistic superstition. So how do they sell that belief? By caricaturing Christianity and Christian beliefs. And how is that possible? How do they get away with that? Because people no longer have the time to sit and think, to process. And even when you watch television, you can watch someone being beheaded in the Middle East, and then there's a car commercial or a detergent commercial. You never have the opportunity to ponder. And in this kind of a climate, people get away with dogmatic assertions as opposed to defensible arguments. If a new atheist acknowledged that there was a smidgen of evidence for God's existence, then theism would cease to be a superstition. The atheist's sense of superiority would suddenly seem unwarranted, and therefore the new atheist writers make a virtue of ignorance. They don't expand their minds by considering the alternatives to atheism. No, they do not research as much as an argument of their opponent. They don't study up. They dumb up. It's called in Graham Veal's book, The Sneer Factor. They sneer at the Christian worldview without actually contending with the Christian worldview. Now, what are we to do in the midst of that kind of circumstance with professors like Alex Rosenberg? We are to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us to everyone who asks us. And when they ask us, we do this with gentleness and with respect. Why? Because we should never be caught in the trap of a we, they, siege mentality against the new atheists, because their children die just like our children die. They contract dread diseases just as we do. They lose their jobs. They live in a real world. And all of them have a God-shaped vacuum that only He can fill. And so we prepare ourselves not to win arguments or sneer back, not to demonstrate our mental acumen, but to use those well-reasoned answers as opportunities for sharing the grace and love and truth that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart. New Atheism, a Survival Guide, available right now for your gift. Go to the web, equip.org, and I'll be right back on the other side of the break. We've got some more stuff coming up that I think you'll like.
Alex Rosenberg, professor of philosophy at Duke University and a devout atheist, bites the bullet in noting that if atheists desire to enjoy life without illusions, they must realize there is no meaning or purpose of life, and there is no moral difference between right and wrong. In other words, Rosenberg says, an atheist will have to be comfortable with a certain amount of nihilism, and just in case, there's always Prozac. Tragically, multitudes of college students are now drinking deeply from this nihilistic nonsense. Graham Veal's book, New Atheism, A Survival Guide, is an accessible, penetrating, and practical resource for responding to the nihilistic nonsense of new atheists. To receive your copy of New Atheism, A Survival Guide, as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. The widely quoted astrophysicist Michael Turner once commented on the remarkable fine-tuning of the universe with a smile. He said, "The precision is as if one could throw a dart across the entire universe and hit a bullseye 1 millimeter in diameter on the other side." Well, far from being insignificant, we are indeed a remarkably privileged species. The new documentary film, Privileged Species, How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life, investigates the special properties of carbon, water, and oxygen that make life possible. And it explores unique features of humans that make us a truly privileged species. To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our thank you for your financial support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to further CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. In The Atheist's Guide to Reality, Enjoying Life Without Illusions, Duke University professor and New Atheist philosopher Alex Rosenberg bites the bullet and declares that to be a consistent atheist, you'll have to be comfortable with a certain amount of nihilism and, just in case, there's always Prozac. Because a growing multitude of college students are drinking deeply from this nihilistic nonsense, we shouldn't be surprised that so many of our national spiritual and cultural indicators are headed south. Graham Veal's concise book, New Atheism, A Survival Guide, is an accessible, practical resource for responding to the nihilistic nonsense of New Atheist. To receive your copy of New Atheism, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's mind-changing and life-transforming outreaches, or visit equip.org. This, then, is the climax of divine revelation, God with us. The infinite has progressively revealed himself in accordance with our finitude. Thus, prior to Emmanuel, general and special revelation revealed his glory. But in the incarnation, we have seen his glory. Thus writes Hank Hanegraaff in his book, Incarnation, the Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. In short, God's incarnation in human flesh is the apex of revelation, his last word. In taking on human flesh, God gives us more than the clearest image of who he is. He gives us himself. To receive your copy of Incarnation as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. New atheists are surreptitiously stealing hard-won intellectual ground once defended by people of faith. Their dumbed-down but winsome ridicule slides effortlessly past the growing number of uncritical minds receptive to such nonsense. Graham Veal's book, New Atheism, A Survival Guide, is a very accessible, penetrating, and practical resource for responding to this new atheist nonsense. To receive your copy of New Atheism, A Survival Guide, as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Well, now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And again, a quick word of thanks to those who stand shoulder to shoulder with this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach in the battle for life and truth. The difference you're making is not just a Western difference. It is a difference around the world. Within just the last week or so, I've had the opportunity to train missionaries who are making a difference all over the global South. Been able to equip them in the areas of apologetics, biblical literacy, countering cults, the occult, world religions. Able to put information into their hands so that when they, as boots on the ground, are equipping people, they have the tools, the resources. How's that possible? The answer, you. You made that possible. But not only did I have the opportunity to train missionaries in the global South as they gathered together in Thailand, I was able to meet with a key communist leader and talk about the difference between Christianity and the cults. Because one of the values of communism today, and it's a value that's broadly embraced and now being enforced, is the idea that anything that is not registered in China is a cult. So if you're part of the house church movement in China, the distinction between what you are doing and what the cults are doing has not always been clear. It's all kind of lumped together. Unnecessary persecution. So to have the opportunity to speak with key communist leaders in this area is a gift from God. But again, how has that been made possible? The answer again is you, Y-O-U. Without you standing shoulder to shoulder with this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach, we could not do what we are now being enabled to do by God. So not only did I have an opportunity to train missionaries and speak with key communist leaders, but in addition to you standing with this ministry shoulder to shoulder, I was able to go to Japan and start the process of getting our materials translated into Japanese. God is opening doors. But again, it's not because of what is happening within these walls exclusively. That's a part of it. A big part of what is happening, again, is you, and we are deeply grateful for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach, because life and truth really do matter. All this month, we're making available New Atheism, a Survival Guide by Graham Veal. He was going to be on the program today, but we had a technical difficulty, and as a result of that, I can not only not talk to him on the air today, but I can't take your calls, but I can talk about the importance of this resource. It is important for so many reasons, and again, it's my way of saying thank you for your support, and it does two things. One, it allows us to continue doing what we're doing around the world, but two, it equips you. It's a resource. It's one of those gems that we search out. You know, it's like finding the pearl in the oyster. We search out these resources, and when we find them, well, we feel like we found a treasure, and we want to make it available to you. And I think this truly is a treasure. In the book, New Atheism, a Survival Guide, the author, Graham Veal, says that, quote, as propaganda, New Atheist websites are exceptionally effective. And then commenting on what he aptly has dubbed sneer pressure, he shows how ridicule rather than dialogue is gaining momentum. Here's what he writes. This is the strategy pursued by the new atheists. And then he talks about Richard Dawkins and says his grasp of philosophical arguments wouldn't get him a passing grade in a high school class. So this is a high school teacher. He knows what he's talking about. Goes on to say, but he doesn't mean to deal with the questions that theists are asking anyway. Instead, he's ridiculing his opponent's position. The reasons for theism must be so bad, why even read about them? My goodness, no. All you need to do is dismiss them. And that's what he is communicating to his crowd. The new atheists have not offered one original argument for atheism, but they have offered plenty of original insults. And as you might expect, over the years, I've had an opportunity to read more than my fair share of books on apologetics. Some are classics, and as you no doubt know, some are, well, not so much. But New Atheism, a Survival Guide, well, I call this a keeper. And I want you to have it for multiple reasons. Let me give you some of those reasons. The first is this: it is eminently readable. Perhaps you, like me, have waded through books on apologetics that are like reading tax manuals written in German. Whatever their value, they're also great cures for insomnia. Perhaps a clue to its readability is that Veal is a high school teacher in Ireland, and he understands what most folks, like high school students, that they have little patience for convoluted intellectual abstraction. So he makes this eminently readable, very, very readable. And I emphasize that because you don't get lost in the minutiae. He's using illustrations so that what is being communicated is captured in the mind. The second reason is I think it's very moving. And what I mean by that is that along with providing clear and logical arguments for theism, he also deeply touches the heart. Along with feeding the head, he will move you with stories that touch the deepest feelings that are part of our shared humanity. In fact, some of those feelings will be moral outrage over the existence of evil in the world, and then you'll want to know how to deal with that very issue. So he is putting the salt in the oats. You know, it's often been said you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Well, you can make him drink if you put salt in the oats. And that's precisely what Graham Veal is doing. Third, it's brief. Unlike those apologetic books that could be used as tank stoppers, this is a book you can read in a couple sittings. Not only read, but digest. That's why it's great to put in the hands of one of your kids, grandkids. If you're a kid yourself, listening to me right now, you want this book. If you're a parent, you want it for your kids. If you're a school teacher, you want it for your class. If you're a pastor, you want it for your congregation. If you're a Bible study teacher, you want it for your Sunday school class. Let me give you one more reason. It's practical. Unlike postgraduate textbooks on philosophy that would take a year to make sense of and another year to figure out, Graham Veal presents critical truths in ways that are tools not only for reflection, but also tools for discussion and engagement. In other words, you can use the key points in this book to emphatically and respectfully engage agnostics and skeptics and even atheists without thumping them over the head with the Bible. With sufficient force, the latter may be effective to induce unconsciousness, but unlikely with new atheists to invite genuine engagement. And that's really what we're after. We're not trying to knock someone out with our Bible or overwhelm someone with their argument. What we're trying to do is engagement. Let's think together. In fact, sometimes the engagement becomes quite effective when you point out that what they've just said is not an argument, it's an assertion. And that is a distinction with a substantial difference. But as I started saying just a few moments again, with all the reasons that I have given you, readable, moving, brief, practical, I also want to send you New Atheism, a Survival Guide for your gift to support the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, because the book and your gift will do, as mentioned, double duty. I don't want you to forget that point. It's a salient point that should be underscored in red. It will do double duty. And again, what do I mean by that? I mean that on the one hand, it allows us to do what we are doing through our outreaches around the world. We now have, as many of you have heard me talk about on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, a global initiative. We're catalyzing and resourcing an apologetic initiative that is reaching around the world. So by standing shoulder to shoulder with this ministry, by giving when you get this gift, when you get this resource, you are touching lives literally all over the world. That's not hyperbole. That's not exaggeration. That's plain old truth. That's one part of the equation. The other part of the equation, of course, is the equipping you with discernment skills, putting a resource, a gem, a jewel into your hands. So this book is going to be a valued addition to your library, a practical tool for engaging others, and your gift will help us continue touching and transforming lives, not only here on the home front, but in crucial battles for truth and life that are raging around the world. So once again, I'll ask you to take just a few moments to give us a call, contact us on the web at equip.org and order this vital resource. Our address on the web, once again, equip.org. You can see the book on the homepage, or you can just talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Do remember our mailing address, Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Anything you can do will help us in the battle for life and truth, because life and truth really do matter, not just for time, but also for eternity. Look forward to answering your questions tomorrow right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We pray that today's program has deepened your understanding of Scripture and helped you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Richard Dawkins' grasp of philosophical arguments wouldn't earn him a passing grade in a freshman philosophy course, but he doesn't mean to deal with the questions that theists are asking. He simply ridicules his opponent's position. In New Atheism, a Survival Guide, Graham Veal explains, "The new atheist stance is that the reasons for theism must be so bad, why even read about them? My goodness, no, you just dismiss them." Veal goes on to show that the new atheists have not offered one original argument for atheism, but they've plenty of original insults. New Atheism offers an accessible, practical resource for countering new atheist attacks. To receive your copy of New Atheism, a Survival Guide, as our thank you gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Bill Nye, the Science Guy, professes, "I'm insignificant. I'm just a speck of sand. And the Earth is another speck. The Sun is another speck, and the galaxy another speck. I'm just a speck on a speck orbiting a speck among other specks in the middle of specklessness. I suck." Well, far from being insignificant, what the scientific evidence really suggests is that human life is the intended outcome of exquisitely fine-tuned parameters in the physics and chemistry of our universe. All this is explained in Discovery Institute's documentary film, Privileged Species: How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life. To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our appreciation for your financial partnership, Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org.